inclined his head gallantly over her hand on parting. And he'd been ready to consign me and the fate of my mission to her without a qualm, apparently. You know how bare had been his instructions to me, and it was only at the last minute that he'd touched on the vital matter of how I should communicate with him after I'd reached Queen Mastiat. If all went well with her, no doubt she'd provide a messenger. If things went wrong, well, we'd just have to wait and see, what? I doubt if I've ever been sent into the deep field with a more definite object and less instruction on how to attain it. But now that we were underway, sitting round a campfire a mile or so from Mai Deha, I felt encouraged by the way Ulaba Walk had taken things in her stride. One moment I had been wrapping the money belt of $200 under my sash, being bidden Godspeed by Napier and having my hand mangled by Speedy, and the next we were out in the chill dark, her two Ab escorts hastening ahead up the hill, dim shadows disappearing over the crest behind the camp. She hadn't even motioned me to follow, just a glance to make sure I was keeping pace with her. In a moment we'd passed beyond the glow of the camp, and I'd lost her in the gloom until a slim hand closed on mine, leading me at a swift walk, and that guidance, steady and sure, had confirmed what I'd said to Napier. She knew her business. She'd picked her way over the broken ground without a check, to this little hollow in the lee of a cliff where a fire burned and the escorts were waiting with four picketed horses. They had food and drink ready on a wooden platter, and with only Napier's sandwiches inside me, I was sharp set. There was a curried pasty, which Ulaba Walk divided among the four of us, and some delicious little balls like the bitterbo they serve in Holland. Only these weren't meat, but, as I discovered on inquiry, powdered locusts bound with fat. It was too late by then, so I calmed my stomach with some of the liquor they call tej, which is fermented of honey and barley, guaranteed to put you under the table if you ain't careful, but capital in moderation. As we ate, I studied the escorts, and a formidable pair they were. Tall, splendidly built, black as night, but not negroid, with their long heads and chins and straight noses. They bore the curved swords and spears common to all Ab warriors, and one had a short bow and quiver of darts. But their shamas carried the red border which marked them as of the better class, and one wore the silver gauntlets, which I later discovered were emblems of knighthood. Even so, he spoke only when Ulaba Walk addressed him in Amharic, replying with respect and saluting her gravely when the meal was done, and she sent them out of earshot so that she could make her appraisal of my appearance, as I've told you, and then discuss our next move.
Presently, we shall ride to my husband's citadel, which we must reach before dawn. We rest here only because there are things I should tell you without delay. First, if harm should befall, or we should be separated on our journey, you must ride straight for Lake Tana. It is 200 miles from here, due southwest. You have a compass? Good. There you will follow the east bank of the lake as far as Bahida, where the Abai River leaves the lake. Wait there until I come or send word.
Hold on. What should separate us? How many of us will there be?
The four of us. Then only you and I. We are to be secret, remember?
Yes, I know, but you spoke of harm. Is it likely, before we reach wherever Queen Mastiat is, I mean? If I sounded anxious, well, I was. It seemed to amuse her.
Habesh is a perilous place at any time, and more so for me. They must have told you that Gobaizi of Lasta holds my husband prisoner, and he will gladly hold me also. His armed bands are in our way south, and I have other enemies, and some who would be friends, aye, closer friends than I would wish, eager to replace my absent lord.
She was laughing, big god.
Oh, I am not a safe companion, Farangi, but I know the way to Queen Mastiat, and the Basha Falaka could trust no one else, so do you fear to travel with me?
I do like saucy bitches. And they didn't come saucier than this one, lounging in the firelight which turned her naked limbs to gold, knowing precisely the effect she was having on me. And a moment ago she'd been telling me not to flirt. So I gave her my flashiest leer. I might ask you the same question, Sultana. I can be a dangerous companion, too. especially for a defenceless female without a man to protect her. Do you miss your husband, by the way?